The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the home of Cape Championship Wrestling. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
What's up, guys? It's Pro Wrestling Unscripted, and we're about to jump right into this with some breaking news about Chris Hero, because Dalton thinks it's the most important thing out of this entire damn list tonight.
It's the first thing on the list.
Doesn't mean it's the most important thing on the list.
You asked where to start.
You know what? You know what you just made?
The list? No, Chris Hero made the list.
No. Hey, it is PWU. Thank you for tuning in with us tonight. We got a special show for you. A lot of great stuff to talk about. We have special guests in the building today, continuing our paid relationship with CCW that comes out of my pocket. That's a joke.
I mean, we pay for tickets. So we do pay for tickets.
We earn our money. The champ is in the house. Brandon Barbwire. What's up, champ?
Hashtag long live the champ.
So loud.
Well, after going on 6 months.
It is. Yeah. You have been just on fire there. And I didn't give you a day. No, I'm kidding. We're going to talk about CCW a little bit here. We'll start off, you know what, real quick, before we jump into anything else. I've said this before. You have been champ for about 6 months now.
Yep.
And you have faced just some epic competition. You took on Austin Lane. You beat Austin Lane. What did I just do with
air quotes?
Oh. Air quotes. After he beat it, after he beat you twice.
He beat it.
No. He did not beat me twice. He beat me once. One time only, and then I beat him.
You beat Dirty Jake Durden.
Tied up. You're right.
You beat, who else did you beat? You beat Billy Hills in the finals.
Sarge O'Reilly.
Sarge O'Reilly, Sexy Sarge. You have been on a collision course. You're just destroying these guys left and right. You've kept that belt. You're a damn fine champion. I know we've had our differences in the past, but, you know, we try to stay neutral here on Podzilla 1985. You're a great champion, but I gotta ask, Hollis Giroux, the man is on fire.
Hollis is the only other guy in the company who has only lost one match since CCW started.
Against Danny Vega at, that very first show that we went to.
Hollis Giroux and myself, I think, are the only two in the company currently that can claim that we only have one loss.
And that's only because you didn't wrestle in Delta, because everyone in the Pinnacle lost that night.
Yeah.
And, but we'll talk about that.
And fair enough, though, one of us would have had to have had two losses after that night, because we can't both win.
Well, I say, you know what? When you two lock up, everyone wins.
I'm noticing a trend here that the only show I didn't make, Hollis lost. So
Hollis was also a dick at that show.
Was he?
Yeah, like he came out chomping on the cigar. He was a total jerk. And it wasn't until the second show when he came out and took on Sexy Sarge that he kind of embraced the fans. That first show, they were giving him all kinds of ruckus. As opposed to Brandon,
I wasn't there.
Who they cheered until he turned on them.
They supported.
I'm easy to love. I'm an easily lovable guy, but people get pissed off when I don't do what they want me to do.
I missed that show.
All right, before we get into CCW, and we were going to talk about that at the end, we're also going to talk about Stride, which Asa and Dalton attended last weekend.
Yes.
And that sounded like a great show, but we got some lesser known news to talk about first, like Chris Hero, in all honesty. Chris Hero, who used to be in WWE as Cassius Ohno, the original KO.
Yep.
Rumor is that he's coming back.
Which, this is all just a mess. Because someone sent Meltzer a question that said, hey, don't you think it's kind of weird that he doesn't have any bookings for 2017 and that he's lost all eight of his last matches he's lost? He's been, you know, putting over the other guys maybe. And Meltzer literally was just like, I wouldn't rule out the possibility of him coming back to WWE. I think I've heard something about him, like something Evolve has planned with him, but I mean, I can see why you would be suspicious. Fast forward a day and like I'm trying to think of just like generic dirtsheet.com. Chris Hero confirmed to come back.
Generic dirtsheet.com.
And then like it's the headline is Chris Hero signs with WWE and NXT, which
clickbait.
And then they cite that answer from Meltzer's online report as the source.
Yeah.
So
I think that's a reason a lot of wrestlers don't like the quote unquote dirt sheets. Mm-hmm. And we try very hard to not fall into that category of, oh, something might happen. Let's run with it. Mm-hmm. Brandon, as a wrestler, what do you feel? What are your thoughts on the dirt sheets? Are you a fan of of wrestling news handed out by people that aren't involved with the business? Us excluded?
Well, I mean, there are people that handle it properly, mm-hmm. and then there are those that just don't, that'll say anything at any given time, zero facts to base it up. They hear something, and it's kind of like that thing where you're sitting at a table and someone says something and says, pass it on. And then by the time it gets all the way back to you, it's completely different than what it should have been, should have been added and
Purple
convoluted.
Monkey dishwasher. Yeah.
And it's no different, but I don't think the problem is with the people, because people have always been like that.
Yeah.
Just the fact that anyone and everyone in the world, thanks to the wonderful internet, everyone sees it now, and it just grows and it gets out of hand. It's like wildfire.
Yeah, it's not even just a wrestling thing. Like, I don't want to get political, but obviously in the news right now, everyone's talking about places like Breitbart.com. They're talking about General Flynn retweeting vague statuses about Hillary Clinton and child sex rings. The tendency of the internet to go crazy and jump on something without proving it, that is a major problem with the internet.
It's the vast majority of it.
Yeah, it's that that and porn. It's that exchange of information that can be so dangerous. Also want to mention at the top of the show, Allie's here. And Dalton. And Asa Gray.
Yay.
The five-star man. I'm real bad about that sometimes.
You got the Mr. 100 plug.
I'm
easy
so sorry.
Enough.
I assume.
And
all right,
him.
Plugged me. I'm fine with that.
Well, it's the champ, baby. This far into the show, like where we've done how many episodes of Pro Wrestling Unscripted now?
Enough.
It's a staple of the community. They know who we are.
Well,
I have
my
a feeling.
Name first on the website description.
On genericdirty.com.
Yeah.
Are we a fan of Chris Hero?
Oh, yeah.
I am.
Are you?
Yeah. He's at the... I don't know. I feel like he kind of got a raw deal, especially if you listen to the dirt sheets where they say a lot of his issues at the end of NXT was because he kind of let himself go.
Body,
again, air
body
quotes,
weight wise, yeah.
Because he does have a look of people can say, it's the same thing with like Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe. Like, oh, they're garbage because look at them. They're out of shape. Well,
which
no.
Which is ridiculous. Like,
it's so ridiculous.
Yeah,
because
but if you see a guy like Samoa Joe wrestling a guy like, I don't know, who's
Ryback?
Someone. Right back. You think, why would a guy that looks like that lose to a guy that looks like that? You know?
certain people
Jesus
might. But no, so I mean, like.
That sounds so damn familiar.
We know everything.
And as terrible as it sounds, like with pro wrestling, I understand, you know, there's always that, you know, the way they want people to look.
Yeah.
Like there's that look that you want.
Especially in Vince McMahon, in McMahon land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but when you look at Chris Hero's body of work and like that 3-hour gauntlet match he did for charity a couple months ago, like there's no doubt that he won't be able to perform. Like
yeah.
He's amazing.
The,
especially considering that one of the reasons that he, you know, got in trouble is he was kind of stepping on some of the trainer's toes.
Right.
Because even though he was there, you know, as a developmental wrestler, he's been doing this for so long and he's so damn good at it.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to give people pointers and help out. But I think this was during the Bill DeMott era too.
Well, yeah. And it was right at the end of the CM Punk, him being there. And that's not a correlation, but I was talking to Ace whenever he mentioned it to me. As I said, the biggest time they wasted Ono was whenever, they were doing like the Paul Heyman guys, Ryback and Curtis Axel versus CM Punk.
Yeah.
How great would it have been of him being like, oh, I have somebody, and then Cassius Ohno, and then like sell it like Zayn versus Owens, where like CM Punk just looked like he saw a ghost of his past.
If I remember correctly, and Dalton, you could probably correct me on this because you keep up with these things better than me. Didn't CM Punk say that the original plan for the Shield
was supposed
Ambrose,
to be,
Rollins, and Ono.
Yeah, it was supposed to be them three, and then
that's
Vince,
what he wanted. That was the idea that he pitched.
That was Punk. That's
yeah,
what
that's
he
that was his like ideal, but that was never like a set thing because
if you believe what he said on that Cabana podcast, the Shield was mainly just it was something that he thought of so he could have people to work after he loses to The Rock.
Yeah,
he just wanted a group of people that he could work against. Which I mean, those three. I mean, even with Reigns, he had good matches against Reigns too. But
and the Shield did well for themselves. They were,
I guess,
semi-successful.
They were all right. Actually, there was an awesome picture on Instagram.
I think they got done exactly what they needed to get done. I mean, with the exception of Rollins, or not Rollins, I'm sorry, Reigns. I mean, they're all pretty well received.
Now, see, we were being sarcastic.
That was a bit.
Oh,
yeah, because the Shield was amazing.
Yeah, we love the Shield. I even love Roman Reigns.
I named
yeah.
my turtles after them.
She did. They're called the Shell.
Yes.
But on WWE.
And what is
Seth's
that? And what was your first turtle was named Seth?
Yes.
And what was his tagline? He was Money.
Oh, he was money, Mr. Money in the Tank.
Jesus.
This is why Jeff O'Dell calls you a child. You know that, right?
Because I'm the only one that makes puns. That's ridiculous.
Pun. Well, you're the one that makes good ones.
That was a good one.
Yeah. I'm excited about Chris Hero coming back.
Yeah,
if he does, yeah,
I'm real interested to see that if he does, if he comes back as Chris Hero, if they let him keep Chris Hero, or if he goes back to Cassius Ohno, because I feel like that really kind of seems like they were real set on having a KO, but
they
now
got one now,
but yeah,
a better one for what they wanted.
Yeah,
oh, I would agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of guys that I really feel like they missed the boat on when it comes to indie wrestlers. Chris Hero is one of them, and of course Colt Cabana was in there. Scotty Goldman,
mm-hmm. Steamboat Son,
Steamboat Son,
yeah.
Brandon, you haven't been in WWE yet,
no,
because the
yet.
Moment you do. Is the moment we start a fan campaign to make sure you are kept off television. Oh, yeah. Wait, what?
Get me the hell out of here right away.
We have so many videos and audio of him.
At least I'll have someone to blame for my failure. It wasn't me. It was the podcast.
How much credit
guys.
We get for that?
Wait, would you not take Odell with you?
Oh, I would love to take Odell
well,
with you.
Well, I think Odell might be your downfall. We keep saying those things on YouTube or Facebook.
I don't really know. I don't think I get to make that choice.
Also coming back to WWE, this is official. Mickie James signed a multi-year contract.
Yes. Like
this, and great, because she looked fantastic at TakeOver. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a Mickie James
fan.
And
that is kind of older news by wrestling standards, because that story broke literally the morning after we recorded last week's episode.
Right. That always
so
happens.
We're just
always
like,
happens.
Son of a...
We've said that on the show before, and big news always happens the moment we leave. I still remember driving home and getting a text. Where it was either Dalton or Ace that said, China's dead. Oh my God, are you kidding?
Yeah, because I skipped that. I think I was working the night, like the next morning, so I skipped that show. And I remember like trying to message you guys, like in the group chat, like as you were recording, be like, "Hey, this happened." And then that.
Oh
like,
no, we'd already recorded by the time because I saw it. It was irrelevant. I can't think of his name. Will Wheaton had tweeted about it, and I was like, "Wait, what?
Did you say irrelevant?" Will Wheaton?
Well, to the story.
Okay,
not, no,
that's...
I like Will Wheaton
not
a lot.
In general,
that's Wesley Crusher.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm excited to see her come back. I hope she goes to SmackDown.
I hope she stays on NXT.
Also.
I do, because I think she's at a point now. She's a little older. What is she? She's in her, probably her 40s now.
37.
Yeah, 37, 30. Early 40s.
I'll make sure that I'm right on that, but I'm pretty sure it's 37.
The way that they treat people on the main roster versus how they treat them on NXT, I feel like she would be treated better on NXT.
I
remember her main roster, the last thing she did on the main roster was Piggy James, where they were making fun of how fat she was when she wasn't in any way.
That goes back to the whole WWE image, which actually I wanted to comment on, because you were talking about the look that the WWE is going for.
Yeah.
And you have like Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens, who are not the ideal image of what you get, which is a huge deal, because now Kevin Owens is the Universal Champion.
Yeah.
You know, which you rewind 10 years ago, would that have happened?
No.
You know, not at all. No way. But the thing is, regardless of what his body type is, that dude can outwork majority of the roster. He would blow me up. He just, like, he's up, he goes, and he's twice my size. Mm. So, I mean, it's impressive. And Joe's
another guy that goes.
Joe is so fast.
Joe's just inhuman.
Yeah.
He's so fast. I mean, his size, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And
I don't think that Kevin Owens would have been champion 10 years ago, but... There have always been bigger guys that have been big in wrestling. Go back to my favorite era, the 80s, because that's when I grew up. You know, Earthquake, Typhoon.
See, but
Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes, not in WWE.
Well, which is a crime. But Kevin Owens is not on the same level as any of those guys.
No, because those guys were
He's
huge,
not even like a Bam Bam Bigelow. Like, those are almost like attraction. Like, look at this person even move.
Yeah.
Whereas Kevin Owens is more on the average looking
Kevin Owens
size.
Is basically us, but...
With the chunkier. Insane talent of...
Oh,
well, that's the thing, though. Like, him and Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, both those guys at their size and the way that they move, they're not out there just like... They're not Rusevs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
They're not just crushing people. Like, they're working their ass off. Mm-hmm. And not to say that Rusev hasn't, but he went through that spell where it was pretty much just...
Rusev,
you know,
crush, Machka?
Yeah. Yeah. Come
do
in.
Crush.
Destroy.
Do crush,
and,
do punch.
And be done with it. Mm-hmm. These guys from the beginning have been working their ass off, and they've never been put in that monster label.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Joe probably come the closest, just because the whole Joe's going to kill you and, you know, that kind of stuff. But
that NXT push after he injured Nakamura was pretty.
But he's still a solid worker. Like, you knew he was a wrestling machine.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't Earthquake, punch, put you on the ground, and then jump
Sit
on
you.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, I really loved Earthquake. Earthquake and Typhoon, they were two of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say that. They both, I think they're, no, Typhoon's still alive. Earthquake passed away of cancer. Well, ouch.
Wasn't Typhoon end up being Tugboat?
Yes, Tugboat and Typhoon. And also, Dalton, you should know this. Who did he become in WCW?
The Shockmaster.
No, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. So there you go.
I don't like him sometimes. I really don't. And that's the one. So I found the Shockmaster WWE Elite for like $50.
Ooh, that's more than Comic-Con
exclusive.
Yeah, I want it. No. I still want it, and it'll never leave the packaging. It's like the one thing I'll never open because it shows up like tilted. It's upside down. Yeah, and it's back
because
like,
he's falling.
Yeah. Oh, I want it so bad.
There's a great one of those Legends roundtables where they talk about that. Mm-hmm. I think it's Arn Anderson. Maybe Arn Anderson, but I know Dusty's there.
Uh-huh.
It's great. It's so much fun. Also, this is maybe the third reference to Hacksaw Jim Duggan Ali has heard this week without knowing who Hacksaw Jim Duggan is.
He's everywhere.
Oh,
oh, please. You gotta know who
Jacksaw
Jim Juggin. You gotta know Jacksaw Jim Juggin.
I think Blaster just found a new gimmick.
Jacksaw. I mean, it's almost as fun to say as Blaster.
Also hired in WWE officially?
They were signed to developmental deals.
All right. Heidi, good enough for me. Heidi Lovelace, Kimberly, Nixon Newell, and Cherry Crowley. And I think they're a part of that rumored women's tournament that WWE wants to do, right?
It could be.
I know Kimberly's done some NXT shows already.
We saw her last week, I think.
Yep.
It was against Asuka, wasn't it?
Yep.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that went well.
No.
You got to earn your stripes, kid. Not with a job anymore. Tom Casiello?
I have no idea.
We think? Was fired. He's the lead writer. Oh, Allie wants to look.
I don't know.
Casiello? What did he get fired for?
I don't think that. They didn't say he was he was let go. He was one of the lead writers of Raw and SmackDown. So.
Hopefully better writing now.
Well, apparently, the only thing that I saw, because I was fairly busy tonight trying to write this out. So, but one of the things is he apparently was one of the people on Triple H's side for the push of a focus on women's wrestling.
Oh, that's not
so,
good.
So, yeah, that may not be a great
Are we going to go back thing? To 2-minute squash matches?
I sure hope not.
Nothing but bra and panties matches.
Oh,
you know,
no.
Oh, God. Nothing. Growing up in my household, especially with my brother, who was like 10, 15 years older than me, he hated wrestling, and my dad didn't like wrestling at a point, but when those bra and panty matches came on, they were hooting and a hollering like Trash Bird Supremes, and that was embarrassing to me as a wrestling fan, because I would actually want to see people wrestle.
That sounds like the worst pizza.
The Trash Bird Supreme? You get that at
we're not gonna say any pizza makers right now.
Now, Asa, you didn't have this written down. Did you read about about Alberto Del Rio over the weekend?
But everything I didn't see a story that said the same thing, so I kind of left it off.
Well, Alberto himself said that basically a wrestler that I don't know the guy's name, but it was in an indie show.
It was Ninja Turtle something.
It was
like Ninja Turtle.
It was a guy
Raph.
Doing a Ninja Turtle
Rafe, I think.
And apparently touched Paige, and then Alberto got in a fight with him and laid the dude out pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, Poppy, damn. Booker T, and we'll look more into this Tom Casiello thing because there's always a reason someone gets fired. Hardly ever is anyone let go just because.
The other comment that I saw on Reddit was firing the lead writer at WWE when Vince McMahon remains in charge is like Zap Brannigan firing Kiff.
I love Kiff.
That's what you need. You need a guy, like, you need just this guy to follow you around and worship you.
Yeah, honest to God, though, whenever you think about it, the comparison of Zap Brannigan to Vince McMahon is amazing.
Yeah.
Because
the ego, the...
But you love him. Like, he's so great. Like, he's so funny. It's ridiculous.
I love eras of Vince McMahon. And he has a very sexy learning disease. Allie, what does he call it? Ugh. Dalton, what does he call it?
Sexlexia.
Thank you.
No one else knows
that.
The bit.
Thank you.
How
Asia?
Do you not come to me?
I was trying to give her a chance.
The bit makes me uncomfortable.
The what?
How does that work?
The bit makes me uncomfortable.
Sexlexia? It's a very common disease.
Is it the word sex in general?
Or is it the lexia part?
Oh, don't let Jeff O'Dell hear it because then he'll make more jokes about you being.
He's not listening to this.
He's not. Why? Fine. And why would he? Why would anyone? Booker T.
Because we have his client on.
His number one client. The only reason Jeff O'Dell has a job in CCW is because Brandon is still champion. I said it. Come at me, O'Dell. You want to start beef? I don't know what beef is, but you don't want to dance with me.
He'll wear 3 different shirts to your funeral.
Just go to the bathroom. Just throw me in a ditch.
He'll wear 3 different shirts to that, too.
But we'll get to that a little later. I got some words for Jeff O'Dell. About Maya. You leave Allie alone. Anyway, Booker T preparing to run for mayor in Houston in 2020. And he really, I mean, that's, if it gets him off TV, good.
I mean, he's.
It didn't get Rhino off TV.
It got Rhino a championship.
It did. No!
Dalton, what did I say this was going to be the story?
No!
This was the.
No!
Allie, what did I say?
No!
I'm not saying.
It's the shucky ducky quack quack story of the week.
No!
I didn't want to say it.
Boo.
Because I probably would have gotten it wrong, honestly.
No!
Shucky ducky quack quack.
Quack, quack.
Stop! And you didn't say
hashtag. If
we say
it enough, he'll leave.
The hashtag thing is my thing. I'm not going to step.
You're not going to stop the hashtag.
He invented the hashtag.
Nah, I figured it was like lead speak for just him.
You know what? Booker T seems like a perfectly nice guy.
He does.
He's clearly a great wrestler. Back when WCW was closing, especially, I was a huge Booker T fan. Harlem Heat is one of my favorite tag teams of all time.
Mm-hmm. So what happened? Because I'm sensing hostility.
He's just, watching
his commentary
him on the,
can be just
his commentary oh, right, is really yeah. is just it's bad. Like yeah. it's I mean again like yeah he was a great wrestler. I loved All Hail King Booker.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I loved that. I loved Charmel. I loved that entire run.
He was the last WCW champion.
But his commentary and his pre-show stuff is just
so rough.
It's so hard to see.
I feel like most of the commentary in WWE nowadays is subpar.
It's gotten better because now that they've brought Corey Graves and Mauro Ranallo in.
Ranallo's like, amazing.
Yeah.
Cole is not doing the terrible heel stuff anymore. So he's really good as just the play-by-play guy.
But boy, they still have JBL.
JBL, I remember the time when we were clamoring for JBL to come back on
Please
commentary.
Come back, wrestling god.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't know, Booker T has never I don't think I've ever heard Booker T do a great.
I started something here.
I started it, remember? Beat it did. Like, it was all my fault.
Right. This is your fault.
He's never been a great promo. I didn't think he was a great promo, but he's a great wrestler, and he doesn't do great on commentary.
Which I think is why All Hail King, like the King Booker run, worked so in his favor, because it's him trying his best to speak so regally
so
and
properly.
Eloquently.
The only thing I hated about that was he looked and reminded me too much of Flava Flav. That was at a time when that Flavor Flav dating show was hot. What was it called?
The Flavor of Love.
The Flavor
of Love.
Don't
act like you don't know the name of it.
I don't think there was an R on it. I think it was just
the
Flavor.
No, I think it was Flavor.
Wasn't it because his name was Flavor Flav?
It's Flavor Flav, yeah. But I used to watch that show, and then that same, like, just weird mannerism, Booker T had down to a T, huh? And it bothered
down to
me.
A Booker T,
he
you might
to
say.
A Booker T. Him and Tanner are going to wrestle for the letter
the
Z.
The letter T.
They did that once, Allie.
They did.
Booker T and the former Ahmed Johnson, who was Big T, wrestled for the letter T. Booker T lost. He lost the right to the letter T, and he went back to being G.I. Bro.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing that
happened. Yeah. Man, I can't believe WCW went out of business.
He couldn't
it's just been a Wheel of Fortune joke.
He couldn't have just been the book.
Well, there they had the juice.
I always loved the bookend as the name of a finisher. That was the rock bottom thing.
When Juventud Guerrero was doing that stupid the juice angle, do you remember what his finisher was?
No.
Because didn't they also give him a rock bottom, but they called it something like the juicer or something?
I don't know.
It's so bad.
There was a point when I flipped back over to watch WCW, and I hadn't seen it in a while because I knew it was going downhill. And just out of curiosity, I flipped over to watch, and I happened to catch a Juventud the Juice promo. And I was like, so at this point, we are just blatantly ripping off The Rock.
Yeah, in a horribly racist way.
Yeah, and it was just so ridiculous, so lazy, cheap, and easy. And I was just like, you assholes aren't even trying. You don't care at all.
They're just writing checks at this point. Whoever, I mean, good
well,
Lord.
Ted Turner is.
They hired ICP.
Yeah.
Away from WWE. They hired Kiss. Remember the Kiss Demon?
Why did that happen?
Away from the retirement home, because they were old back then.
They had that one DJ constantly show up and like host the parties. That was
Didn't Conan and Rey Mysterio become rappers or something?
I'm sure they did at some point.
I'm pretty sure. I know Conan did at one point.
Yeah.
And
that just kind of became his gimmick after a certain
I don't
point.
Like this. All these WCW memories coming back.
Just block it out. Just block it out.
That's what I've been doing. The wall will break eventually.
Cruiserweights. Just keep saying that.
Booker T is running for mayor in Houston. Yeah. I wish him luck. I don't know much about Houston, so.
It's
in
Texas.
Yes.
It's in Texas. I have grandparents that live south of there.
No, she doesn't.
Yes, I do.
Tell them to vote for Booker T.
Tell them to move.
Are they in the right voting district?
Tell them to move to Houston and register to vote.
But they don't have to do it until like another 2 years.
Yeah. Booker Huffman. Well, four. Is his real name.
2020.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. But the voter registration thing. You want to be in there for a little bit before you can
Moving
just
on.
Vote. Okay.
Oh goodness.
It's quiet now.
Shad Gaspard is in the news. Is a statement you didn't think you'd hear tonight.
Not in a happy way.
Well, it is a happy way. Stop the robbery.
Yeah.
He didn't start it.
No, that's what I mean. You wouldn't think that if you hear Shad Gaspard in the news.
Oh, that would be bad.
It could be.
No.
Yeah.
He stopped the robbery, which is good. And that reminds me a lot of when, was it Daivari? That dude on the train that was like causing trouble and Daivari choked him out.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty awesome.
Chris Masters, uprooting a tree to break a window to save his mom from a fire.
Herculean feats of strength.
Mm-hmm. It's not that shocking if you saw a picture of him.
Oh, Chris, the masterpiece. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. A lot of steroids in that one.
Oh, I don't care.
I'll be honest. I don't believe that story ever happened. There's no way a man ripped a tree out of the ground.
Well, but he didn't just rip it out. Like he put it in the master lock. Yeah. And that helped him.
And it tapped, and it was just like, all right, we're just going to give up.
He just started wrenching it back and forth. And then
nobody explained it to me that way. I apologize.
There is a couple of finishers that people have used that are submission finishers that I've always just never found to be believable as finishers.
Mm-hmm.
Because in wrestling, one of the things I love about wrestling is that the ones where it's like any move can end a match at any time, sometimes that's really nice because you don't expect the finisher. Like when you watch wrestling, you always expect, okay, finisher got hit, that's the end of the match. It's when they'd roll them up or they'd hit them with like a really good clothesline or something and pin them, that makes you that believable, oh, they got caught. But there are some moves that I've just never bought, and the Master Lock was one of them. I know it's a full Nelson,
mm-hmm.
and it's a real move. Like you can actually put that move on someone and lock them up. But that, the sleeper hold, the Steiner recliner, which is the worst wrestling finisher of all time.
So what do you think of Rusev then?
That's different. When he grabbed Kalisto and bent him backwards, that legitimately looked like it was going to kill somebody. But Steiner was so lazy with the way he applied it.
Yeah, it really was. The STFU.
Yeah.
Especially whenever someone like AJ Styles or someone he's feuding with, Regal puts Cena in it. It's like, oh, that's what that's supposed to look like.
Right.
That looks like it hurts a lot.
Have you met Scott Steiner?
Once.
Because I know someone that met Scott Steiner. Just real quick, what kind of person is he?
Okay, so in my own experience, it's not like we sat in the back and talked for forever. I introduced myself. I said hello. I said it was nice to meet him. He was cordial. He was nice. That's all I'm going to say because outside of that, I have to respect where he's been, what he's done. He's made a living in this business in a way that I could only dream of doing at this point. But I am not a fan of his work personally.
That's about the best way you can say it, probably.
You just got to get that chest tattoo, dog. Just that really gaudy heart cross.
Which is really crazy because Scott Steiner went from being like one of the original big
Varsity Club
flyers, the Frankensteiners named after him, to that just giant beast of a man who's nuts. Have you ever seen Scott Steiner?
Yeah,
crazy.
The before and after, like we'll pull up a before and after.
He has 9/10 veins.
Yeah, it's
he's
nuts.
Bane.
Crazy. He's vascular.
He's
as
Bane,
hail.
Basically. Rick Steiner never changed.
But
he was simple forever.
He's in real estate now.
What is this dog?
Is he selling dog houses?
You like this dog house?
But yeah, to get back on track a little bit, Shad was in a gas station with JTG and a couple other people were in the car driving through Florida. A guy apparently kind of got in his face, told him to get out of the way. Shad Gaspard took none of that, and so he's like, well, you need to get out of here. I'm about to rob the place. So Shad Gaspard said his first thought was this, I'm not dying in Florida. Charged the dude, cleared the gun away from him, slammed his head into the door, took him outside and put him in a choke until the cops showed up. Turned out it was an airsoft gun, but still.
And at that moment, the guy really wished he'd have set it to JTG.
Yeah. I met Shad and JTG years ago.
It was at Stephen Barry's.
Stephen Barry's when I did quote unquote security for that line when they had the meet and greet. That was awesome. That was like really cool. And Shad Gaspard was just the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, they were both super nice.
Well, I don't know how well it went across person, but JTG was just kind of, he was very douchey. Like he was very arrogant. But Shad was like super nice.
I mean,
huge. Dude was like 12 foot four.
To be fair, you're on TV every week. hey, go to Stephen Barry's in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. I might be kind of grumpy. They I still, get that's part of the job, and that's really not, you know, okay, but.
They still owe Lindsay $1,000, Stephen Barry's. Maybe they can help pay off our IRS debt, which is also $1,000. Anywho.
Why do they owe you $1,000?
What's that?
Why do they owe her?
No, she owes them.
Well, no. Stephen Barry's owes her $1,000.
Oh, yeah.
Because, Barry's, yeah.
Yeah, they told her, hey, if you stay through closing, we'll pay you this bonus money. She said, okay. She stayed through closing. Then they just closed and was like, never mind. See you later. And they ran off. We still get letters in the mail saying, here's the status of the lawsuit and your money. It's been 8 years now. It's over. Well, no, maybe not, because, you know, they just hit her from a 2014. Yeah. You know, that's a different story. I'm going to talk about
different
that Thursday.
Show.
Don't worry about
tomorrow
it.
Tomorrow night.
John Cena is returning to WWE in 2 weeks in Chicago. Mm-hmm. CM Punk confirmed to be there.
Yes.
Yes.
On Twitter, someone asked him, are you going to come and interrupt John Cena's return? He said, yes, absolutely. But now, for listeners, this is an exclusive because, as CM Punk said, it's super secret kayfabe biz.
Don't tell anybody.
So, don't, yeah.
Keep it on the down low, hush hush.
Yeah. He,
why isn't CM Punk still there?
Brandon, hashtag don't tell anybody.
Hashtag kayfabe.
Yes. Cena just hosted SNL.
Mm-hmm.
He did a pretty good job.
I liked it.
I don't know if he's as good as The Rock. Because The Rock's real good. See, I don't think Cena will be the next Rock in Hollywood.
About to say, that's not
but
a
also
fair
look
comparison.
At the, I was going to say, but look at the cast that The Rock was working with when he hosted.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Well, too, The Rock is a phenomenon.
He's a beast.
Yeah, there's just
He's transcended the sport in general, mm-hmm. and now he's the highest paid actor in Hollywood.
Isn't that crazy?
Sexiest man alive.
Isn't that nuts?
That's always been true, though.
Yeah, but think like 10, 15 years ago when I was growing up, I watched The Rock. I watched him from Rocky Maivia, mm-hmm. when no one cared, to The Rock in The Nation of Domination, which was, I thought, his best work was The Nation of Domination. Because it was just, he was doing that.
I don't know
that.
If it was his best work, but it was definitely good.
It was that true heel arrogance. That he had, like, that really
movie star Rock when he feuded with Hurricane.
See, that was too tongue in cheek for me. That was too
was it?
That was too funny for me. Right. Like when he lost to Hurricane and said, "You didn't beat me, you beat the Scorpion King." Hilarious. Mm-hmm. But I really like that Rock and Nation where he was just a really ass. You know,
Dawning SmackDown, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment, the People's Champ, The Rock, that whole era of time, and he didn't really have a choice but to be a babyface because he was so. Over.
Yeah.
And then he still went on and did the Rock and Sock Connection in that time period and everything. That for me was like.
He was golden.
His main time. I mean, like, yeah. He could do no wrong.
And now he went from being the biggest thing in wrestling to the biggest thing. Like, yeah. Literally, he is gigantic.
He saved the Fast and Furious franchise.
So by he did. Flexing out of a cast.
Yeah. They just released
the
trailer.
Again, that was the one scene in that movie that was like, I'm sold.
Again, now. He just does that on Tuesdays. Yeah. I don't know why everybody thinks that's impressive.
For those of you interested, they released a trailer for the new movie. It's called The Fate of the Furious.
Mm-hmm.
The Rock comes in, just rock bottoms them all.
Good.
He peoples
this is the eighth
car.
Movie in the series. They've made eight Fast and Furious.
I think they're going for 10.
God.
I think they're going until they stop making money.
I think the overall goal right now is 10. If you make
it's a nice round number,
a really good amount of money with number 10, why not make 11?
So. I mean, can you think of any other franchises that have gone that high?
Star Wars.
Nope. 7.
Almost.
I mean, 8.
Nope.
7.
They will
8.
Be.
Tomorrow. Or
that's
tomorrow.
True.
Yeah, 8
true.
Movies.
And
TV shows.
If you count Rogue One as its own
is
little.
Is Star Wars in the title?
Okay, that's another show, but I'm going to say my piece on it real quick. It takes place before A New Hope. It's a direct prequel to that movie. It ties into the entire mythology. It's a Star Wars movie.
It is a Star Wars movie, but it is not necessarily.
Oh man, Jesse's gonna be so pissed.
Darth Vader's in it.
We'll fill him in after
Sunday. That's nerd up. Cena's coming back.
That part timer. All right.
Yay.
Before he runs off to Hollywood to film another movie or whatever. Good for him.
Oh, yeah, no.
Whatever. Cena deserves it. Cena's the hardest working guy and one of the hardest working guys in wrestling. Like, between the wrestling and the movies and the charity and stuff like that, like, he doesn't phone it in. You have to give him that credit.
Yeah.
He's never phoned it in.
And it's like
whether
we
he's
said
great
last week.
At what he does or not, he's never phoned it in.
And it's like we said last week whenever that report that he's only going to be in WWE for till like 6 months next year. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we pretty much said all that. Like,
right.
He deserves it.
Go back and listen to last week. Give us an extra hit.
Do it.
Wrestle Kingdom 11 news. Asa, what you got?
That is, apparently there's some like big story is supposed to be coming out sometime this week. We already have Jim Ross confirmed to be commentating for it. The running theory is that they're going to announce that it will be available for either pay-per-view or they will get some sort of network deal to broadcast it live in America.
Have you ever heard Jim Ross do commentary for Japanese wrestling?
It's really good.
I just heard it for the first time over the weekend. I think I sent you guys that message that I tried Sling TV out, and one of the channels has New Japan Pro Wrestling on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I've never watched New Japan. I'm going to watch it. Unfortunately, I didn't see any wrestling because it was like a 20-minute promo. I didn't know they did that in Japan. But Jim Ross was – it was him and Josh Matthews as commentary. And I miss Jim Ross so much.
Yeah.
So much. But yeah, Wrestle Kingdom is awesome. That's the first time I saw Shinsuke Nakamura. Dalton showed me the match he had with AJ Styles. Was that last year or the year before last?
That was last year's.
So it's going to be a fantastic event.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Any other news on that? I don't want to skip anything. Okay.
No, that was pretty much it.
ITV is bringing back the world of sports. Speaking of Jim Ross.
Yep.
2-hour special. And I don't have ITV. What is that?
No, it's a British channel.
That would explain it.
It's basically it's the biggest channel. Like, it's on par with BBC over there.
Nothing's on par with BBC.
This is the show. This is the channel that has like Broadchurch and Downton Abbey. So I mean, it's
doesn't matter. Champ doesn't like it.
I do not like it. I don't see Doctor Who on that channel. Do you, sir? Hashtag Doctor Who.
And Billy just got a fan for life. Our Billy, not your Billy.
Very different.
Billy. Entirely different Billys. But so, no, this is a really big deal because, like, in the 80s, this was British wrestling.
I remember World of Sports. I remember that. Like, I never watched it, but I remember it, you know?
But, yeah, it's a 2-hour special. I think it's on New Year's Eve that it's going to be airing. But one of the big stories coming out of this is it's really highlighting WWE's very aggressive hiring practice that it seems that they're going after right now, and it's very much less of a, oh, we like what you do, we want you on our team, as much as... oh, you could make someone else money. No.
Yeah, but you got to look at how many times the WWE and then WWF has been burned by that philosophy of not doing it. Remember Lex Luger when he went to Nitro, the very first Nitro, and showed up.
They were
Alundra
so happy.
Blaze when she dropped the women's title in the trash on Nitro. There's tons of examples, but WWE needs to be aggressive.
Yeah, but these. Hold
wait
up,
a minute.
Though.
You just said those two. You didn't say Scott Hall and Kevin Nash.
I forgot about
Scott
and
those
Hall
were,
and Nash.
But those were at the time very established big names.
Yeah.
And while the people that they're signing for this world of sport, I had a list of names, a couple names on there, and I don't remember. I couldn't find it again when I was writing this. But there are some big British names, but it's nothing on par with like
Scott
if
Simon,
they had
Scott
let
Hall.
You know if they had let Tyler Black go and just you know sign with TNA as opposed to you know when they signed him in NXT, which I mean yeah WWE has had those kind of names like I don't know I just. This very much just feels like they see that this could be some sort of competition that they just don't want because WWE does not do good numbers because the channel they appear on over there is Sky, which is a premium channel that you have to pay for.
Right.
As opposed to this is one of like their basic channels. TNA usually did better ratings when they were on, cause they had a better time slot.
Right.
WWE's time slot and channel is not very beneficial to them as opposed to this ITV deal that World of Sport has is nuts.
Primo.
Yeah.
Champ, you're chomping at the bit to say something. What do you got?
Well, I know that like the WWE in general and Vince McMahon would never agree with me on this, but you're right. You know, from a business standpoint, being aggressive is a good thing. Mm-hmm. You want to coalesce as much talent as you possibly can, but if you're only grabbing that talent to keep them out of the hands of other people, you're screwing over that talent. Not only are you screwing over that talent, you're screwing over the fans of that talent.
That's true.
And the opportunity to grow more fans and grow the business. If your idea is just to grab people to put them on the back burner so that they can't make money for anyone else, yes, maybe you're lining your own pockets, but you're certainly not helping the business. And in the end, competition is a good thing, the best thing, the best time of wrestling.
It's definitely short term, too.
And you're absolutely right, though. Vince McMahon would not agree with you on that because they've shown time and time again that they would rather help themselves now than even help themselves later.
Yeah,
from a long term standpoint, though, the best thing for this business is competition. And WCW, the Monday Night Wars, that time period.
The best time for the business.
Proves it.
They almost lost. So
never again.
Yeah.
And they're in real danger. I mean, a lot of people have been fed up with WWE for a long, long time, but there weren't many options to watch something else. You know, and now it's a little bit better. TNA's not TNA's probably in a better position now than it has been in a long time. Mm-hmm. ROH is still around, but it was around then.
That was another thing. Apparently, this is the first time they will be going into their tapings, knowing where their money, what money they have and where it's coming from. 100% confirmed.
Because so Dixie's not in charge anymore.
For TNA. This is the first time a TNA taping, and they are not like scrambling to try to get together money for a loan. So I guess it's Anthem is the company that ended up owning them. So, but they, you know, they're on solid footing. Yeah,
they have a shot, but they've always had a shot.
They've had
great talent, and they just never utilized. Dixie Carter.
That company has 9 lives, I swear to God.
It's the 900. Cockroach. Yeah.
Of the one thing 2016 couldn't kill. It was TNA.
Oh my God.
Also, just British wrestling reminded me. Apparently, also Nigel McGuinness is in talks about becoming a trainer at the Performance Center.
Because he just, him and Ring of Honor just split ways.
Amazing talent. Always, yeah. I was real sad to see him go so quickly from in-ring competition. Mm-hmm. I think he has a lot to give.
Those matches with Kurt Angle in TNA before he got hurt were stupid good.
Speaking of TNA, let's jump into this. Total Nonstop Deletion is this week. It's tomorrow.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Tomorrow night.
We're going to be watching it here at the store.
Tag Team Apocalyptico.
Yes, I'm excited to see what happens. You work, you won't be able to see it. But I don't think you really want to see this. This is more for us to just watch while we eat popcorn and go, "Oh my God. What is this?"
Jim Ross said that it is truly something special.
Big rumor is who's going to show up.
See, because they've invited tag teams from all of time and space.
Yes.
Which I
love. Confirmed for it is Crazy Steve and...
The Decay. Crazy Steve and Abyss.
The Rock and Roll Express is going to be there.
Really?
Yes. Or maybe it's the Midnight Express. Hell. One of the Expresses.
DCC, Death Count Council, the new big faction in TNA, is there. Broken
Big
Heart
rumor,
is clearly...
Young Bucks are going to be there.
The Bucks of Youth.
Yes.
He has sent so many open challenges. I so wish Vince McMahon would allow it, because he has sent, like, watching Matt Hardy on Twitter now is a joy.
Yeah.
Cause he's tweeting at, like, the Wyatts, the family of Wyatt, the day of new.
There are some people that criticize him and say, oh, you're desperate. It's just like TNA to go after the big guys and go, hey, we need you, mm-hmm. and to really make it look like you're small time. But I disagree. I think it's fun.
I think if they were doing that on TV, absolutely. Yeah. But since this is just his Twitter, like, And it's one of those things where, like Kenny Omega talked about when they did the whole, they kept teasing the Elite versus the New Day.
Right.
It's like, I mean, we can tease it, and that's, honestly, it's still a way to gauge interest.
Yeah.
So why not at least plant the seeds of an idea, even if it may not ever happen? If you don't at least make that, you know, some sort of an attempt, it's definitely not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it at all.
No.
Remember when they did that in the WCW, when Eric Bischoff challenged Vince McMahon to a fight, mm-hmm. and then at the pay-per-view, on WCW pay-per-view, there was a guy with a clipboard with pictures of Vince McMahon and like Triple H. And they were like, if you see these guys, and I remember going, holy crap, are they really going to be there? They have to be, right? They've said their names. They have pictures of them. So yeah, I think it's a good way to draw up interest.
Or like when, I think it was Jay Leno had basically tried to set up a match between Goldberg and Stone Cold. Anybody remember that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Still waiting for that match.
He got stunnered at a WrestleMania.
Close enough.
So. We remember that WrestleMania.
That's
yeah.
good enough.
You try to put that block up.
And then
it's the WCW block for Shannon. Then I put that WrestleMania 20 block up.
Was that 23? Was that WrestleMania 23?
No, it was 20. That was 20.
20?
Okay. Yep.
Houston, we have a. Was that Houston we have a. No, that was like 14. No,
WrestleMania 23 was the one where
Donald Trump.
Our president.
Yeah.
Our president-elect.
About to say, I'm saying elect until the day that I don't have to.
He's laughing already, just saying the name, Donald Trump.
He can't even read.
WWE Hall of Famer.
Allegedly.
Why don't you watch it? I'm dyslexic.
No, not you.
Oh. Hashtag champ just laid out. Belt shot.
Another Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett, because Gregory Helms.
The Helms Dynasty or something like that. Yeah.
I'm excited for it. I think
it's going to be fun to watch.
Especially
isn't that what wrestling's supposed to be?
Yeah.
Fun. It's supposed to be fun.
And I'll even say, because the first, Total Deletion that they did. Final Deletion with, between Matt and Jeff.
You weren't a fan of it.
I wasn't a huge fan of it.
Loved it.
It's gotten better.
I saw what you were saying.
I think it's gotten better because they've fully embraced the camp.
Yeah.
Because that was still kind of presented as a semi-serious
feud.
Yeah. Whereas now it's just broken Matt Hardy was struck by lightning and got amnesia.
I'm coming like, around to
a
the
month
idea
ago.
Yeah.
So, whole, yeah.
The
so
whole
now
way
just,
they're doing things, but I'm. I guess I'm just old fashioned.
You and I will be over here on this side. We'll draw a line down the middle of the store. Jim Cornette's spinning in his grave.
Yeah. Apparently, he called Santino when he found out that he had to retire because his neck was so messed up, and said, "Good, you're always terrible."
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that's a rumor.
I just read that like a couple of weeks ago, and I was just like, "You piece of garbage!" I wouldn't put it past him.
Because
it came
either,
up. It came up after he. Because I don't think he talked about it on the Stone Cold podcast. But it's like, oh hey, because you're all talking about Santino being on Stone Cold's podcast. Here's the thing that Jim Cornette said.
Jim Cornette was one of the only other podcasts I listened to actively because I really respected his knowledge of the business and how much he devoted to it. But the more I hear about him, the more I think he's like that guy. He's that friend you have that no one else likes. And you're just like, no, he's a good guy if you get to know him. Seriously, Zach Price. You just have to, you just have to spend time with him. But the more you think about him, you go,
no,
he's
Shannon.
He's
garbage.
Yeah, he's a dick. So Total Nonstop Deletions tomorrow. We're going to watch it here at the store. Don't come watch it with us. We're very private. We'll invite you.
We'll be closed.
Can,
anyway.
Can you stop inviting people?
Moving on.
It's only by invite from now on. Stride. Let's talk about Stride.
Yeah.
And there's a reason. Well, actually, before we do that, because I didn't want to mention this real quick, Black Excellence, real quick, because I just think it's so stupid that this is a thing. So, Kingston.
You think clarify. It's stupid the backlash that
yes.
has come
yeah.
from
thank
Black
you,
Excellence.
Thank you. Well, I was going to get to that eventually.
Yeah, but.
Because I know there have been plenty of times on this show, because I'm honest.
Yeah.
I might be stupid sometimes, but I'm honest. I've criticized Black Lives Matter movement in the past for certain things. I've criticized this, I've criticized that. This Black Excellence thing where The New Day, Sasha Banks, and
Rich Swann
took a picture together and Big E put hashtag Black Excellence. And the backlash against it is so ridiculous. And the people that are coming out of the woodwork, and it's those, I'm not saying it's a sign of the times, but those people that are so vocal about this stuff that have come out to criticize them. The fact that Kofi Kingston had to publish an apology, not even an apology,
no, he didn't,
an explanation.
Yeah, he published an explanation.
He should not have to publish an explanation for taking pride in something like this. This is something to be proud of. Not often, especially in WWE, have you seen so many African Americans being champion at once. It's such a rare occasion in general. Like even tag champ, you know? So for these guys to all be champion at once, that is something to be proud of, and that is something we should embrace. So the people that are criticizing it, you're ridiculous. You're the worst part about being a wrestling fan. And that's all I gotta say about it. That's it. Yeah. Okay. Stride Pro Wrestling. Asa and yes. Dalton were in, where was this at?
Marion, Illinois.
And you went to go see who?
Farmer Billy Hills.
You know Farmer Billy Hills, Brandon.
I do know Farmer Billy Hills. He's one of my best friends in the whole wide world.
You know he hates
like
you, right?
He adores
no,
me.
No, when he was in Marion, he likes him. In Marion, you guys are friends. He's friendly.
Well, in Marion, he doesn't have the same pressure he feels in Cape, you know, because
he just hates Missouri.
I think he just hates CCW.
I don't blame it. Yeah. Well, Missouri. I love CCW, but the Missouri
I was going to say, I was like, now hold on a second.
he said he fit like one more word in while I
Billy,
was talking.
Billy just has issue with his, I guess, bad reputation.
He punches
He
women.
Enjoys it.
He
like,
does.
That's the thing. Like he enjoys his bad reputation. He can't have people thinking that he has emotions or feelings in a positive way.
Well, see, I think Billy Hills is a lot like you. You're both misunderstood.
Oh, I would definitely say that's true.
Because when we started this thing with CCW and we started covering CCW, again, we had our differences. Me and you and the cast, you and Hunter, still going on. Billy
well,
had
Hunter's
his differences.
A tool, so.
That's what I hear from certain people. rolling on. but you guys are really misunderstood. You're good guys. You're great wrestlers. And, yeah, so Asa, please, you and Dalton now speak as I tear up the list.
Give them another
first.
Minute.
So, so we went to Stride Marion, at the, I don't even remember the name of the mall.
First off, I remember seeing texts and messages from you guys saying we made a mistake.
Oh no, because we're walking through the mall and we found the one mall in America that is dying faster than
West Park.
The mall here in Cape.
No, I probably haven't.
I'm
no.
Now, Allie, I'm gonna challenge you to that. The next, if the Stride show's in the same building and you guys come, you will see.
How as big is this mall?
Not real big. Like, it's probably West Park. Instead of it being broken into multiple segments, it's breaking the rule of it goes way too long in all of the things. Like, it's Target and Dillard's are the anchor stores. but then there's really just the two, but they're way longer than they should be.
Yep.
And I'm serious, like one out of every five or six storefronts had anything in it. The food court had a Subway and six open, empty places.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. I was like, oh, they have a food. No, they don't.
That just sounds like Illinois. I don't understand what's the occasion.
I'm from Illinois originally myself. So
you get it.
Well, we're from the oasis of Cape Girardeau. You know, we're used to the big city.
Mount City, amenities. Illinois, baby.
But yeah, so it's just, you know, it's the mall itself was real empty, but the event itself was great. It was in like a martial arts studio, I guess you'd say.
A dojo, if you will.
Dojo, sure.
No, that's a good word. Like, he's not wrong.
Thank you.
I don't know what the criteria
best friends with the champ.
I don't know what the criteria for it to be called a dojo is.
Hashtag dojo.
Hashtag
dojo. How many ninjas did you see?
None, because it's a good dojo. Okay. But yeah, no. So we got there. We got our tickets. We got front row, which I was excited for.
Because you guys just went straight up there, right? You didn't buy tickets in
advance.
Well,
they don't sell them in advance. It's pretty much just like, yeah, when you get there, they sell tickets, grab a seat, as long as it's not like marked as reserved or something.
Because I went in, I was like, all right, so can I get two front rows tickets? And they're like, we don't do rows. And I was like, all right, well, can I get two tickets? And like, well, we don't really do tickets. Because he's buying an action figure in Target, while I'm getting his ticket. And I was like, all right, so I'm paying for two seats. This dude's going to come in. His name's Asa. Dalton paid for him. And they're like, all right, we can remember Asa and Dalton. So then I was like,
I think Dalton paid for my ticket. Like, oh yeah. Come on, let me mark your hand.
From an indie wrestling standpoint though, like shows like that where no tickets, no front row, no pre-sales, that is far more common.
Yeah, than what we have.
Than what CCW of buying tickets in advance and selling out in advance.
And talking to Billy.
CCW really has their shit together in that.
They do.
Yeah. And talking to Billy afterwards, like we found out that apparently this was a lot of the people that we saw were still in training.
Yeah.
And if he hadn't told us that, we would have had no idea. Like, I mean, yeah, there was, you know, some, I hate using this term and I apologize in advance, but there was some greenness, if you will.
No, green is fine. Just don't say fake.
No, of course not. But like everyone was really good. Like, and one of the nice things is like, there wasn't a huge crowd. It was probably, I would say probably like a little less than 100.
16, 17 people.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, it was more than that.
Definitely not that.
I've worked in front of crowds like that. Yeah. It's awesome.
But one of the great things was like even that, I would even say had a step up on CCW's, every single person that was there was invested in it. So you had like, there wasn't anyone just kind of there sitting on their hands.
Yeah.
You know, everyone who was there, I think, to see the show, which was great.
You know, and that's one of the advantages to shows like that, especially like in Tennessee and Illinois, where these towns literally run weekly shows every Saturday night, and it's pretty much every other town as you're going through Tennessee. Every other town pretty much has a damn wrestling show, and they have their loyal fans that come pretty much every week. Sometimes it's 50, sometimes it's 100, sometimes it's more or less. It just depends on what's going on, but everybody's invested because – that's what they do there. Like that's
their
what
weekend.
They have to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just different here.
Yeah, because like the ticket lady randomly came up to us to intermission, not knowing who we were, and just asked, like, "It's like, hey, are you guys having a good time?" Because I guess we probably looked new to them.
Yeah, we were like new faces. Yeah, and also, you know, because again, we were front row, and we were getting like we do at the CCW shows. Yeah. Maybe not quite as vocal because you know just numbers game.
Right.
But I mean, we were getting into the show. We were, you know, cheering and.
CCW definitely has more, and I don't want to take anything away from Strike because I didn't go, so I don't want to insult them at all. But I think CCW has more of a big fight feel, more of a big, you know, with the way they have it set up and with the many of these people there, then you also get that crowd in where some of them cheer, some of them don't. That's the bad thing. Some people that just show up because they heard, hey, there's an event in town, you know, whereas it sounds like Stride was more of the hardcore fans that have, like Brandon
really,
said, have been going there forever.
And it really did. But yeah, because we
got Same thing with, I think, UCW that Sarge runs. Yeah. That seems like it has a very dedicated
and
fan base.
And that's kind of the thing.
Which
that,
we're building now here in Cape Girardeau.
Yeah.
We're building that fan base.
Which is great. And also, CCW has really kind of, you know, I always kind of followed like ROH stuff loosely, New Japan stuff loosely, PWG, but like these smaller shows, like now I have a checklist of stuff that I need to see. So like every CCW show I need to see. I've gotten to see Stride. We want to go see a UCW show. Go support Sarge.
We'll see Austin.
We want to go see. Arkansas, Austin's home base, whatever his home promote, what he would consider his like home promotion.
Yeah. No, I mean Arkansas. I guess ASWF.
I think it is.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. So I want to go see that.
Which,
like,
he's given us an open invite to, by the way. He said roll out the red carpet.
Which tickets. Even without that, like, we even go without anyway. Any of that, I still want to go. Just to see.
Austin is one of the big. What did we say? There's a big three, big four from CCW that we've met that we've really become attached to. Brandon, of course, Austin, Sexy Sarge, Billy Hills. You know, I love you guys so much that I'll follow you to hell and back.
Yeah. So
I don't like you, I'll follow
and
you.
We went.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
We went to Stride to see Billy.
Yeah.
But like Billy and Sarah. And I really want to go back because like there were people that we saw that like Dalton Diamond. I really wanted to see more Dalton Diamond. I thought he was really good. I can't remember his first name, but Phoenix.
Scott Phoenix.
This isn't the same Phoenix that we had.
No, this is a different Phoenix. This was a younger guy, and I feel really bad because he probably hates me because he has like long, like shoulder length hair, like really, really nice hair.
Oh, this guy.
But the entire time I was just yelling like, does Gerard Way know you're out of the house?
Here's the one that broke me. He calls for a pile driver, like he yells pile driver, and then T-Dog, the guy he's wrestling, did a flip.
T-Dog!
He flips him over, and then ASIC, it gets quiet. Is that what they call a pile driver in the All-American Rejects? Which then has our entire side laughing.
Which I felt big, we told Billy, like, so did you tell them to, like, just ignore the two guys in the corner? He's like, no, I didn't say a word.
I was like, Billy, that's when you say that we're going to be doing that.
You guys were basically the two old men from the Muppets.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But really, it was just to him, too. Like, we weren't.
Oh, no, I was heckling Tony Flood. I yelled, blame Canada.
Oh, no, yeah.
And he just looked at me and he's like, don't you start that. Tony Flood, that's also, I like that dude a whole lot now. That's who Billy wrestled.
I'm hoping we might see him at some point.
Maybe. It's always
he got his Missouri license.
Yay.
You
know what always drove me crazy? Somebody outside of wrestling or outside of really being a wrestling fan is like emphasizing about beating somebody up and they say, I'm going to give him a pile driver, but they signal the move for an elbow. That drives me up the damn wall. I hate that. That was an elbow.
Like, you have to work your arms for it, though.
But that's both arms.
No.
It's not just the one.
No, you don't understand. It's like the Macho Man point. Their hands come above their head. They say, ooh, yeah, I'm going to give him a pile driver. Well, that's weird because Macho Man did the elbow.
You're about to drop the elbow on him.
Yeah.
We also got to talk briefly with Joey O'Reilly.
That dude was
really,
cool
really
too.
Good. Apparently, he had just won the tag team championship the show before, but people had jumped. I think his tag team partner and one other person, so they had to kind of rework the main event.
It almost sounds like the Midwest Mafia attacked Joey O'Reilly's partner.
Well, being from the Midwest, I'd say that Mafia is no joke.
You didn't see them. They're actually kind of scary looking.
A little bit. Red Daniels and Jake Capone.
Yep.
And Big.
Oh, Roger
big
Mathis.
Shirtless John.
Big Roger Mathis.
And they were some big dudes.
Yeah.
Like, big
both, and like, because we saw Midwest Mafia wrestle Damage Inc., which was
I mean, that,
a
that's
good
cool,
tag
but
match.
We have a Nephilim on our side.
it's not a competition.
I'm sorry.
Everything
is a competition, Asa.
Dexter Roswell versus El Magnifico. And since
that was
great. Since it was Star Wars night, El Magnifico used the Jedi mind trick. He was not the luchador he was looking for.
Made me
pretty
laugh,
fantastic.
Right. We got a Jedi Master chant over
because
the
champion Heath busted these two plastic lightsabers, like just shattered them over people. Sounded and looked gross.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of people ruining lightsabers.
Well, it won him the match.
Well, Tony Flynn, his wife Alexa wore Star Trek shirts to the ring for Star Wars night.
Oh, the best.
That's true heel status.
That's good heat.
Yeah.
Not the best part of the show, but one of the most surprising parts of the show is they're getting the show started and they called the ref out, and it was Lane Austin.
Sexy Lane Austin?
Yeah. Oh,
it was not ref.
He came out, and Asa and I just got so happy, and then he came over to our corner and saw us, and he was like,
he was real confused to see us. He was like, how far did you guys drive? We're like, it's only an hour.
And then he was talking to us between the matches and stuff like that.
Which we let him down, and I want to issue a formal apology to Lane.
Yeah, sorry,
because
Lane.
Because he came
I'm
going
to tag Lane in this, so Lane, this is for you specifically.
Whenever Beauregard came out with his checklist and his clipboard, we did a You Made the List. And Lane comes over and he's like, hey, if you guys don't knock it off, you're going to get it. Which he, like, he gave the warning to you at the last season. So we're like, hey, you're the law.
You're
we're
the
sorry.
Law. Yeah.
And then he kind of takes two steps, turns back. You know what you're going to get? It. And we missed it. We missed the bit. We felt so bad. Felt so terrible.
So we're like, sorry, oh. Lane.
So sorry, Lane Austin. That's our apology. Lane Austin and Austin Lane. Oh, that's confusing.
It's not really.
For me, it is. I'm from Illinois.
Both equally attract. What?
Oh, I don't know. Austin Lane's a handsome man, but that Lane Austin.
We got to.
I'm a fan of myself.
We got to see. And did we ever get his actual ring name?
I didn't. I think it's either JP or Will, but I cannot. We didn't get a good hear on him.
But we've seen him at the CCW shows a lot. He was the younger guy that usually is with Jason Vaughn.
He was Vaughn's security walking him through the.
Okay, yeah.
He had his match.
Which it turns out was his first match.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like outside of practice. Super acrobatic.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Athletic, really. He's
Brandon, let me ask you a question. Yeah. You remember your first match?
Yeah.
What was it like? What's going through your mind when you had your first match? Well, to give us the details on it real quick.
I can't
remember.
It was a cluster something.
Rhymes with truck.
Yeah.
It's the F word that rhymes with it.
It certainly
with a,
does.
Or the up word that starts with F.
why don't you just blast it out? At least he can't get on to you.
But we told Stride we were going to be PG, so.
Gotcha.
Well, all right, so. My first match was in Memphis for a company called MAW. It was down off of South Parkway in Memphis. Mm. Rough neighborhood, but they were drawing a decent crowd and they were loyal and they were running every week. And pretty much, me and a close friend of mine named Anton LaVey had gotten invited to go there from another guy who was wrestling under the name The Crime. And
his name was Crime?
The Crime.
The Crime.
Was
okay.
It spelled with a Y or an I?
Because he's still in victories left and right. I don't know. I didn't ask.
Sweet.
But anyways, we end up just sort of getting thrown in there to do whatever and whenever. It was not great. I mean, my timing was off. I had zero psychology. And really, I mean, a lot of what we do is a process learned over time and trial by fire. There's only so much that you can learn when you're not in front of a crowd or whenever you're not having to go on the fly. You know, a lot of guys are still on that whole, oh, I got to remember every single thing here. And they have no idea how to just go and do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that being said, I was in my head and I was panicking. And I was excited and I was so happy to have my first match. But afterwards, I just remember thinking, okay, that was awesome that I did that, but this can't be where I stay.
Well, that was my last match.
And I'm going to have a second and third match.
Well, I beat myself up too. Like, I mean, for months after that, like still like, having other matches that I knew were better, I'd still look back on my first one and go, Jesus Christ, I can't do that again.
How long ago was that? You've 13? Been in the business for what?
13.
13 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the reason he's the champ.
I was going to say, clearly he's gotten better.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you should be ever so grateful.
He's come a long way. But yeah, it was a great time. Everyone there was really nice because we got to talk to – I didn't catch his name, but we got to talk to the set guy running the sound. We talked to the GM for a little bit. And then, the woman who you – paid for the tickets.
Yeah, she was really, really
sweet.
She
was real nice. We actually kind of talked to her a little bit more than anybody else, but it was a great show. It was a lot of fun. The crowd was super into it. Everyone worked really, really hard. You could tell, like, nothing was, you know,
no
phoned in. Nothing was phoned in. The Scott Phoenix T-Dog match was really, really good.
Yeah,
real
really
hard hitting, it felt like. There was some.
He was their legacy champ.
Yeah, he was the legacy champion, which I guess might be not their, I don't want to say like second tier belt because they have the world championship and then the legacy championship.
Right.
But yeah, so it if you have a chance.
They call it a world championship or they call it a heavyweight title?
I think it's probably their heavyweight
championship. I hope it was a heavyweight.
Yeah, it's probably their heavyweight championship.
You don't want to call a world title when it's defended entirely.
Right, exactly. Like, I'm not the CCW world heavyweight champion.
Although
I'm the CCW heavyweight champion.
I call it that. I mean, but I think that's just.
And I've referred to you as that on the show multiple times. I've called you the CCW world champion, and they always correct me, and I always go, yeah, I know. It's just habit.
Yeah.
I always want to say world champion.
Dude, I wish you were right.
I wish from a global perspective that was true.
That everyone recognized CCW champion as the champion?
Yeah.
I wish I was getting emails from people in Japan. You're so great at what you do.
And of course, I wouldn't be able to read it. I'm going to have them email you. I'm going to message you on Facebook. You are so great at what you do.
Make sure it's in English.
No promises.
We could just make it up. He would never know. I'm just going to start making fake email addresses.
Even that would be sweet.
So it doesn't matter. He's still getting the emails.
Yeah.
Their next show is January. I think it was pretty early in January. I don't remember.
It's like 2 weeks before CCW's show. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
So if you get a chance, especially if you're a fan of CCW, you know, it's especially if you're like local in Cape, or if you're local in Illinois, if you're listening to this in Illinois, definitely make the trip to Marion. Check them out. It was really entertaining. A lot of really good wrestling. And especially if it's, you know, if it is a, you know, where they're, you know, learning and practicing and kind of, you know, in training. Like I said, I would have never been able to tell.
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, clearly, like, you know, Brandon might be able to, you know.
People that have done it. People who have been there.
But just strictly as a fan.
Right.
I mean, everything, it was so good, so entertaining. Everyone was super nice.
I want to go up there with you next time.
Yeah. Because really, again, this was just so we could go see Sarah and Billy.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, well, I want to go see the next show.
Don't get caught up too much in these feds, though, because, I mean, there were so many of them, and so many were so good.
That was the thing, because Dalton says, like, wouldn't it be cool if we could just, like, every weekend we just went to, you know.
A different one
or something? Yeah, like CCW and Stride.
It would get ridiculous.
I was like, oh, no, I don't have
so I wish CCW would run weekly. I know why they don't. Obviously, it's probably impossible, but, man, I wish they ran weekly.
From a money standpoint, it's feasible. Just not productive. Yeah. There's no way that. We could do it.
And the once a month, I think, really is able to.
It makes it feel special.
Yeah. Well, it makes it feel, and it's able to really kind of, you know, you don't have to rush through everything.
It puts the company on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have time to promote and advertise and build anticipation as opposed to these small towns who literally have nothing else going on. They need something every weekend. Cape Girardeau has something.
Yes.
Every weekend.
Gaming
you can
grounds,
find something.
709 Broadway.
Come play some games. High school football.
$4 an hour, $10 all day. You can play whatever game you want, including 2K17.
Really, you're going to interrupt the champ for a plug?
Oh, he has to plug. I have to plug. We all have to plug something.
He discounted me a game, so it's all right.
No, I didn't.
Wait,
no,
what?
I didn't. What are you talking about? For the champ? All right, speaking of the champ, let's talk champ. Let's talk about what's going on here. check out Stride.
Yeah, absolutely. They're on Facebook, Stride Wrestling. Mm-hmm. That's where they'll announce the next shows and stuff. So
keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
All right. Wanted to plug it again because it sounds like you had a great time.
Five star man, two thumbs up, seal of approval.
I'd ask what Dalton's rating is, but who cares?
It's irrelevant.
First off, we have the champ Brandon Barbwire in here with us. First things first, Brandon. I told Jeff O'Dell that I was going to get you to sing happy birthday to him. So let's make that happen.
Yeah, but we don't sing though. Like that's
the pinnacle doesn't
like
sing.
That's a pinnacle thing.
But
it's in his contract.
It's
I think.
In my contract. You beat me too. Actually, like that, I had to sign that right off the bat with Jeff. Hey, I will not sing.
But I heard hashtag voice like an angel.
Hashtag that's true. Still in the contract.
Can we
that's
do
a
this?
Long hashtag. I don't think you know how they work.
Do you think
can
Caleb,
we do this whole show?
I invented
with just
them,
just
so we're gonna be okay.
Like hashtag Asa. At Asa hashtag. At Asa. It's Jeff O'Dell's birthday. Happy birthday, Jeff O'Dell.
Yes.
He happy probably birthday, won't listen Jeff to this because he's a busy man.
I wrote on his wall. I was like, hey, happy birthday. Hope you have a good day. I'm still going to boo you in January, though.
Let's talk about what happened at the last show because you, unfortunately, did not get to wrestle. You had an injury from you ran the gauntlet and you got an injury.
Yeah, off of a Michinoku driver, I believe is what you said it was.
Yeah, it was a Michinoku driver.
So in your absence... In your absence of not being able to wrestle at the show, the Pinnacle lost every single match. Is that a coincidence?
Absolutely not. And I told Jeff from the beginning, the minute that I got hit with that Michinoku driver.
It was vicious.
I immediately said to Jeff, hey, first of all, I'm hurt. And secondly, we're going to lose every match because I'm hurt. And it's just bad. It's bad mojo.
Yeah, because you need the champ there. You need your top guy there to
inspire
everybody
there.
Else.
He was there during that.
He was there, but he was in a cast.
I was being ridiculed.
He was getting
laughed
neck
at.
Brace.
Yeah, he was getting attacked by this crowd.
Children were trying to steal his championship.
Literally.
Blaster tried to steal his championship.
Blaster tried to steal the championship.
Blaster.
The man is a mystery to me. I don't understand it.
We're so in the weeds about Blaster.
You do.
Who gets thrown a title and assumes that they've won? That's
Blaster.
Weird.
Blaster.
His name is Blaster.
He held it. He held it over his head like he was a champion.
He doesn't strike me as the smartest.
Maybe, hey, maybe he was just practicing.
Well,
I mean, there's, we've heard rumors of this pinnacle infighting.
What's up with that? Billy Hill, right, so Billy Hill says that he hates you. We have that on record.
Which is a lie.
He doesn't like you. You know Billy Hills is going to want that title at some point. Billy Hills just lost a little bit, so he's not in a good mood.
No.
Jeff Odell got punked by Double H. With the Nephilim, Damone, in his debut match, lost to Jason Vaughn. Blaster lost twice. He may have lost a couple more times on the way to the parking lot. We can't be sure. What's going on with the Pinnacle right now?
Okay, well,
you've got the inside track. Let us know.
And I've said this before when I've been on here. Everybody in Pinnacle, we're obviously a team, and we're a group. We're willing to work together. But in the end, everybody has their own personal motivation. If Billy Hills was put in a championship match with me tomorrow, I have no doubt that he would do his damnedest to beat me. Mm. He's not going to lay down or hand it to me, even for a paycheck, because I'm quite sure that Billy would come on here and say, oh, well, I was paid to lose. But let's face it, you get paid a lot more when you're a champion. Okay? So he can say what he wants to say, but the truth is, if Billy has an opportunity to become a champion, he's going to take it if he can. Unfortunately for him, I feel the same way. And that's why I'm the CCW heavyweight champion. You talk about Hunter Hendricks getting involved, and we've seen him getting more and more vocal and angry and trying to lash back at some of the things that we do and say, to the point of almost becoming physical. I'll say this, Hunter, you, if you're listening.
He is.
Use your brain. Okay? Granted, you're in a position of authority. Put your hands on one of us. Give one of us a reason to physically attack and hurt you. Do you really think that that's a smart idea?
Billy Hills took a swing at him.
Did he hit him?
Hunter's like a cat.
Yeah, he rolled a natural 20.
This is my question. Did he hit him?
No.
Was there any physical contact?
No. There was not this time.
Does that, I mean, look at this from a standpoint of law. If I don't physically touch you and you assault me first, who is responsible?
Was this bird law?
I feel provocation plays a part in it.
Provocation may play a part.
Are you saying you have not provoked Hunter Hendricks since you became champion?
Physically, have I hit Hunter Hendricks? No. I will say that one time I overstepped my bounds and I put my hands on his face.
I remember that very much so.
But no one in this room can say to me that putting my hand on his face and nonchalantly shoving him is threatening him physically.
From Hunter Henner's perspective, I feel like he would feel like he's being threatened.
Well, if I was a tiny little man, maybe I'd feel that way too. But it's just another reason to keep some distance between me and the actual athletes. Step your ass where you belong, on a microphone and away from us. Keep good, safe distance, and you won't have to get in any of these positions. Am I wrong or am I right?
You're right. You're right. But he did put you in a position to fight one Hollis Giroux.
And I'm really excited about that, too. And it's a shame that I had to go and make the trip to the Lazarus Pit and all these things to get in a position to be able to defend my title against him, because I am looking forward to it. I've said that in a couple of videos that I've done now.
But so we have a fan question. I just read it. It just came up on the screen. It popped up, actually. And it wants to know what you're going to do at the next show to hide from Hollis Giroux so you don't have to fight him again.
I have zero interest in hiding from Hollis Giroux.
Are you afraid of Hollis Giroux? Answer me that.
Absolutely not.
Because we've talked about it. You fought the big guys. You fought Austin Lane. You fought Dirty. You beat these guys. One way or another, you beat them. You have not fought anyone like Hollis Giroux. This man is a machine. This guy is on fire. You said it yourself. He's the only one in the Federation right now, other than you, that is on a hot streak.
Look, I'll give credit where it's due. He's good. I have no qualms about saying that whatsoever. He is on a roll. He is hot. That's fantastic. But it doesn't change the fact that he doesn't have the experience that is going to be required to beat a 13-year veteran.
A 13-year veteran who is going to be stuck in a cage with him where the other members of the Pinnacle cannot.
Who do you really think that benefits? You've seen how vicious I can be. Do you remember the ass whipping I put Austin Lane?
I do remember that, but I also remember I remember Hollis Giroux just tearing through everyone that he's come across. Tearing through them in a way that I don't think you are prepared for.
Including the only triple threat match that we've seen so far in CCW.
With Dirty Jake Durden and Corey Williams. Cody Wilson. Yeah.
Corey Williams, oh my God.
I've beaten Jake Durden.
Dalton, do you remember how he beat Jake Durden? Can you recall?
I think there was a belt that hit him in the head whenever the ref wasn't looking.
Let's recap on that, though. Inside of a cage...
Odell won't be able to slide you the belt.
No one will be able to slide me the belt, but I got a whole lot of steel surrounding me that I can use.
But so does he.
But is it going to matter?
I mean, it's...
Hollis,
nobody's going to be able to give you that advantage, though, that Odell did.
Here's another thing. Hollis, of course, is like Billy Hills, and he's like a lot of guys that are in CCW. CCW is not the only place he wrestles. Hollis just won a title. What, last week?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is he on a hot streak, this man just won a title, and he's looking to collect on other titles. You have no fear that Hollis Giroux is going to take that title from you?
No. I have zero fear.
Because you've not been in a situation like this. Every time you've wrestled, you have had the advantage of having your cronies around the ring to help you. This is in a cage. You have not done this before with anyone at CCW. Have you had a cage match before?
Yes.
And how did that turn out?
Wonderfully. Why do you think I'm so confident?
I don't know.
You are confident. And, you know,
I think it's a great call to, you know, definitely take this lightly. I think.
Just keep underestimating it. It's a good idea.
Here's the thing. Since you've been coming in here, the first time we met, and you came on the show the first time, it was after weeks of, I overstepped my bounds and I talked a little trash on you on the show.
Right.
And we settled things. We've come to a nice middle ground of, I'm a reporter, I report on things, and you wrestle because you are the champ and you're the best at what you do.
We can get along, we don't have to agree.
Exactly. I
mean, that's just the way it is.
And so as someone that has seen you grow in CCW and has appreciated what you have done for CCW, to see you so nonchalantly talking about Hollis Giroux, when Hollis Giroux is the biggest threat I think you've had to this belt since you've got it, I am worried about what could happen to you at Cage Chaos in January.
I think you misunderstand the situation. You know, it's not about just taking Hollis Giroux lightly. I see the potential that Hollis Giroux has. I think everybody does. I think it's the reason why he got this title shot. But let's face it, he doesn't have the time, the in-ring experience that I should really feel truly threatened. I have, on more than one occasion, talked to him personally in my own videos, telling him I'm willing to show him, teach him whatever I decide I'm going to in that match. I am not saying that it is an impossibility for Brandon Barbwire to lose. I'm saying that Brandon Barbwire is not going to lose to Hollis Giroux on the 28th in a cage match. It's not going to happen. I won't allow it to happen.
So who do you see past Hollis Giroux? Assuming Brandon Barbwire retains the title, who's your next threat? Who are you looking at right now at CCW? Del Tucker just came
again,
in.
Again, great idea to look past Hollis Giroux.
Just
two
look
thumbs
right
up. Two thumbs up.
You know,
as a champ, I assume you've got your eyes on everybody.
I kind of have to. I don't really have a choice, like, because there's not like one single person that wants that title,
right? Because there's only one title in CCW,
right?
And it's the title.
It is the title for now. I think at some point they may do something involving tag teams, but that's down the road, and that's if it even pans out. I don't know what their plans are. All I know is that from a heavyweight champion position, there's nobody there that I don't feel like I don't stand a chance with. I feel like I'm the champion for a reason. I feel like I've been the champion for the last 6 months for a reason. And I don't feel like I'm the one that's underestimating Hollis Giroux. I feel like all of you are still underestimating me. After 6 months of doing everything that I have done, beating everyone that I have beat, including the so-called best of the best, Austin Lane, I still get questioned as to why I'm so damn confident. Maybe it's because I'm a six-month champion in a company that is burning up the state of Missouri right now, and I don't have a right to be confident. If you disagree, like me or not, you can kiss my ass. I will beat Hollis Giroux and anyone else that wants to challenge me for my title.
because that's what I do. I will win by any means necessary. And if Hollis Giroux hasn't noticed that by now, if you haven't noticed that by now, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Who do I have to hurt? Who do I have to beat before each and every one of you, including your boy Hollis, realize what they're getting into when they get into a cage with Brandon Barbed Wire?
I think you have misjudged us. We have no doubt that you can go. You say, what do you have to do to earn our respect, to get us to get on your side and believe that? You need to dump the Pinnacle, because I've seen you wrestle. I know you're good. And the Pinnacle is not helping you. It is hurting you. You are a champion amongst a bunch of gnats, people that can't lace your boots.
Billy's going to punch us in the mouth.
Billy's going to punch you in the mouth. I'm bigger than a lot of people. But I am dead serious. Why do you need the Pinnacle? You talk about how good you are and how you're going to beat Hollis Giroux and you beat all these other guys. You have a chance this January in a cage with no help to beat someone one-on-one, and you don't need anybody else. So dude, why? Why?
Think about what you're saying right now. Why did Ric Flair need the Four Horsemen? Why did Hogan need the NWO? Are you kidding me? I mean, this is what this business is based on. You build yourself with numbers. You protect yourself with numbers no matter what you have to do, even if that means you have to play dirty. It's not about how you win. It's about that you win. And that you put your – it's called being strategic. When you play chess, you play with a plan.
So what is Jeff O'Dell's strategy to lose every match at the last show, and how are they going to help you?
That was not Jeff O'Dell's plan. Things went awry. Let's face it. You're not going to win them all, man. Sometimes things do not go the way that you wished that they were going to go.
So you have a plan for this January. If the Pinnacle fails you, if they fail you like they failed Jeff O'Dell in Delta, you have a plan to beat Hollis Giroux that doesn't include the numbers game.
The Pinnacle is always the easier way. I'm aware of that. It's just smart. There's a reason Ric Flair was the dirtiest player in the game. It wasn't because he absolutely had to cheat to win. It's because you get longevity that way. You build a career that way. I don't need the Pinnacle. I want the Pinnacle. And when it comes to right down to it, if I can't have them there, I am perfectly confident in my own ability as a professional and as a champion that, yes, I can beat Hollis Giroux.
Well, we are out of time. But before we're out of time, no. I got something for you. Before we're out of time, you say you can beat Hollis Giroux. You've talked about Hollis Giroux. I know Hollis is going to listen to this show. So I'm going to give you the last say. And I want you to tell Hollis Giroux what's in store for him this January.
Yeah, I feel like if he's been listening, he's pretty much caught up. He knows what's going on. If he pays any attention at all to the videos that I put out, to this podcast, he is very well aware of the fact that when it comes time to step in the cage with me, I have no intention of taking it easy. I have no intention of going soft with him. I'm going to beat the hell out of him. And the best part of it is I have a steel cage surrounding me on every side. And I'm a really creative person. You'd be surprised the things that I could come up with when I'm surrounded by walls of steel to beat the hell out of somebody like Hollis Giroux. You'd be surprised the levels of pain that I can show him exist. And I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it, especially if it'll calm down some of this doubt that I'm catching at this table.
I guess we will find out January 28th at Cage Chaos at the AC Braze Arena here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
# lace up your boots tight, kid.
Brandon, it's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, guys.
We'll be back tomorrow with Tanner Thursday. Stay tuned. Thank you to the champ for being here. Thank you for Asa, Dalton, and Allie for being here, of course. And
# long live the champ.
# this is going to be a hell of a ride.